Good evening, beloved. Turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians 1, 1 to 8. This is what the word of our Lord says in that portion. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we pray now that you will draw near, awaken fresh affections for you in our hearts, and open our eyes to see Jesus in a fresh and new way, and cause us to be a people marked by the kind of thanksgiving that we hear the Apostle Paul talk about here. We thank you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One amazing and very comforting thing about the way God relates to us is that he takes on himself the responsibility to tell us what we should do in any given situation. So God relates to us as a father to their children in very, very amazing detail. So if you read a passage like James 5, you would hear God say, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him." So you see, James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is envisioning different seasons in people's lives. Some people are joyful, some people are cheerful, some are suffering, and some are sick. And the assumption here is that because of who we are, because of our weaknesses, because we drifted so far away from God, we don't know what to do in what season of life. Even when we are cheerful, we have to be told what to do. And God takes upon himself to do that. There is a real sense in which, as the Bible says, that God shows compassion to us as a father shows compassion to his children. So God relates to us as a father. He tells us, almost as a father is telling the son, don't cross the road when the cars are on green. Or don't just walk, but where there is the pedestrian walk so that you are not hurt. God is helping us navigate life in a way that no one else can do. And in our passage tonight, we are asking the question, as God is helping us, what is the best way to respond to what God is doing in the lives of other believers? How do we respond to God's work in the lives of the brothers and sisters God has given us to live with, to do life with together in our church? You could expand that to say, how do we respond to God's work in the lives of other groups of believers in different places? When we hear news of what God is doing in this church over here, and that church over there, and that church across the oceans, what should be our response to that? We cannot assume that we know how to respond. If we see Brother A making major strides in their walk with the Lord and defeating sin and walking in the Spirit and bearing much fruit, we don't know what to just, we just don't immediately know what to do. And God takes it on himself to teach us that. So I do want us to take some moment tonight to consider what God would have us do in response to what He is doing in the lives of fellow believers in our church and in the lives of other believers in other places across the world or in the nation that He has placed us in. And I think what Paul writes to the Colossians here shows us that there are two dimensions of responses that we can and should have to what God is doing in the lives of other people and in the lives of other groups of believers. There is a horizontal response. There is a vertical response. There's something we have to do in response to what God is doing in the lives of others by the way we relate to those people. And there is what we have to do in relationship to God. So what is our response to what God is doing in the lives of others towards them? And the answer is, first, we should listen to hear what God is doing. In other words, we should live with an expectation to hear testimonies of what God is doing in the lives of our brothers and sisters. You're sitting next to somebody that right now. You should be living with an expectation that you could hear news of how God is helping them defeat sin, of how God is helping them put to death by the Spirit the deeds of the flesh, because God is moving in the midst of His people. He's actually working in the midst of His people. But that's not the only thing we do. It also means that we encourage others by sharing with them what God is doing in our own lives. So first, let's look at the hearing aspect of things. Look at verse 3. Paul says to the Colossians, "We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you," and listen to this, "since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints." So there's something that happened. News reached Paul and Timothy about the believers in Colossae. And that prompted a certain response in the heart of Paul and Timothy. They heard the faith of the Colossians, and they heard of how the Colossians are loving one another and loving other saints. So right here, we see already that proactively taking steps to hear stories of what God is doing in the lives of other believers is a worthy thing to do. Because Paul is responding to what he has heard. Just sitting with a fellow brother, with a fellow sister, a fellow member of the church, and hearing them explain to you, share with you of how God is expanding the reign of Christ in their heart, of how they are defeating this sin and that sin, of how they are making strides in their walk with the Lord, is a worthy thing to do. Listening with an engaging ear to what God is doing as they defeat anger and defeat bitterness or impatience or impurity in their lives is part of what God calls us to do towards one another. That is how the life of Paul and Timothy was enriched. The lives of Paul and Timothy were enriched by what God was doing in Colossae. So getting together, whether it's in small group setting or it's for lunch or meeting up with one another, in whatever context the Lord provides, a book study, whatever it is, just to hear the tremendous things that God is doing is what is part of what we are called to do. I would say, in fact, when you invite somebody out for lunch or you have somebody over to your house or you go to small group and you are having this kind of anticipation, that is an expression of faith, because you are by that indicating, I know God is certainly doing things. I know God is working in the midst of His people, and therefore, I am not on the wrong to expect that there will be testimonies of things God is doing. I am sitting with you over lunch to hear of what God is doing in your life. So that's what Paul and Timothy exemplify for us here. How do we respond to what God is doing in the lives of others? We should look to listen. We should listen for what God is doing. That's part of what we are called to do. Taking time to hear about God's work among the Colossians is what Paul sets before us as an example. And amazingly, this is not an isolated incident in Paul's letters. Listen to what he says to the Ephesians, Ephesians 1:15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. So again, Paul heard of something that was happening in a place where he was physically absent, but hearing of that had a certain particular impact on his heart. He says to Philemon, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. So whether you ask somebody the question, the prompting question for them to share their story, or the person just begins sharing with you spontaneously, engagingly listening for what God is doing in the lives of your brothers and sisters, it's ministry to them. It's ministry to your own heart. God has designed us to stir one another unto love and good works. And part of the way we do that is that we hear what God is doing in the life of each other. Since being here, I have been very thankful. I have almost not run up against a situation where I asked somebody to meet up and they just were not interested. I love that. I praise God for that, because there is a clear spirit that says, we want to get together. We want to know each other. I want to know where the Lord has brought you from to where you are today. I want to know the battles you are fighting. I want to hear of how the Lord is helping you make strides in becoming more like Christ. That is a worthy thing. So, and I praise God we are doing that, and I'm urging us to do so more and more. Now, the second thing that we see here in terms of how we respond to God's work in the lives of others is not only that we hear others speak, but that we also speak to others about what God is doing in our lives. You know, you could easily explain things like this away with personality. I tend to be a more quiet person, so I am more on the hearing end of things. Or I am a more talkative person, so I am more on the talking end of things. No, we have to do both. We have to listen for what God is doing, and we have to communicate what God is doing in our own lives or around us as we see it to others. Giving voice to what the Lord is doing is part of our responsibility towards one another. Now, we could know that from this passage just from the fact that Paul says that they heard, because you don't hear what people are not saying. We hear when people are speaking. So when Paul says, we have heard of God's work, of your faith in Christ and of your love for the saints, that presupposes somebody said something to Paul and Timothy. But even with that clarity of fact that we could deduce from the fact that they heard, Paul still goes out of his way to explicitly state that Epaphras spoke to them about the faith of the Colossians and their love for one another. Look at verse 8. He, meaning Epaphras, is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. So it took Epaphras telling the story of how the gospel was bearing fruit and growing among the Colossians for Paul and Timothy to know. You know, many times when you are newly married and, you know, the glow of the honeymoon has passed, you could start to assume that, of course, she knows I love her, or of course, he knows I love him. But then after some time, you find out that assumption is not working. They know you love them, but they still need to hear you say that you love them. So how much more is it going to be for us as God's people? We know God is working in each other's heart, but let's make it known what the Lord is doing among us, because that's part of the way we stir on one another unto love and good works. So just like listening for what God is doing in our midst is part of the way we serve each other, is part of the way we serve our own faith, speaking about what God is doing in our own lives, around us, as we see it, is also another way of communicating and stirring one another unto love and good works. And as I said, responding to what God is doing in
our lives.
God's work is done to be proclaimed. God's work is done to be publicized. I can almost guarantee no one of us right here is able to bow their heads and pray for 5 minutes for what God is doing in Togo or in Yemen without some definite knowledge about what God is doing there. We need something about the church there, the pastors, how the Christians there are doing, what things they are up against, that kind of information. And the same is true for the person sitting next to you. So communicating to them what God is doing with your prayer life, your Bible study life, your witnessing life, and your stewardship, just all the different aspects of God's work of grace in your life, is a way of serving their faith, it's a way of serving your faith, it's a way of publicizing the glory of God. So I'm arguing from Colossians 1 that there is a horizontal dimension of how we respond to God's work in the lives of the people he has given us to do life with. And that means we listen for what God is doing in their lives, and that means we communicate what God is doing in our own lives. But I also said there is a vertical dimension to this reality, and that's what I'm transitioning to now. Look at verse 3 of our passage, Colossians 1, 3. Paul says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." So you see what Paul is saying. "Timothy and I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and of your love toward all the saints, and the impact of that news on our hearts is that it's created an ongoing prayer of thanksgiving in us toward God for you." So they hear of something God is doing, and the result of that is that God receives more praise, and God receives more thanks. Could it therefore be that maybe the reason God is not receiving as much thanks as he could, and much glory as he could, is that we speak less of what God is doing than we ought, and hear less of what God is doing than we ought? Thanksgiving to God because of what God was doing among the Colossians was the direct result of Paul and Timothy hearing through the agency of Epaphras about what God was doing among the Colossians. So when we talk about what God is doing in our lives, we are not putting ourselves on the pedestal. It's about God from start to finish. And that's why the thanks go not to us, but to God who is doing the work. Those who hear the work of God's grace in the lives of others and have experienced the work of God's grace in their lives know to whom the thanks belong. You can't see somebody defeat immorality in their lives or defeat greed in their lives or defeat covetousness in their lives and say, "You are wonderful." No, we say, "Praise be to God," because we know there is only one power in the universe to overthrow the reign of sin in human hearts. And that is the resurrection power of Jesus. And therefore, it is to God we give thanks when we hear that brothers and sisters in our midst and in other places are making strides in the faith. Again, Paul does not say this as an isolated sort of add-on to his letters. He says the same thing to the Ephesians, Ephesians 1:15. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." So here you see again a direct correlation between hearing of the faith in God of these believers and of their love for one another, and the result being a generation of thanksgiving to God in the heart of Paul. Philemon 4 and 5. "I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints." So telling and hearing testimonies are designed by God to be a powerful fuel for the fire of thanksgiving in the midst of God's people. It's designed by God to fuel the flame of thanksgiving and prayerfulness in the midst of God's people. So we limit the intensity of prayer and the intensity of thanksgiving that could be when we don't proactively listen to hear for what God is doing, and when we do not, in a God-centered way, share of the things God is doing in our lives and as we are seeing it. So here's the short thing. A testimony is an invitation to thanksgiving. When somebody shares something about what God is doing in their lives, or about what God is doing in this brother's life, or in that church, or that ministry, that's an invitation to thanksgiving. That's an invitation to stand in awe and reverence and wonder at the kind of God who is doing such a thing. Now, like I said, some of us may be more on the quiet end of the spectrum. We would rather listen while others speak. We are not very given to talking, and we prefer to be quiet. And so you may ask a question like, so I have heard that Paul heard of the faith of the Colossians and of their love for the saints. So should I just stand up somewhere, maybe when we have a Thanksgiving service, or when I go to small group or to a book study or meet up for lunch or wherever we are, and just say, I have faith in Christ, I love the brotherhood. Is that what I should do? Well, if you did that, that would be a great testimony. That will still be a great testimony. And here's the reason why. Like I said, there is no person in the universe who can create in your heart the faith that you have in Jesus Christ, or the kind of love that you would have for others simply because they are saints in Christ. People can believe any number of things. People can love various groups of people for various different reasons. But the only way we come to have faith in Christ and love other people because they too have faith in Christ is by the power of Christ's cross. So if you were to say, I have faith in Christ and I love the saints, that is a testimony that in it itself is able to generate thanksgiving, because only God can produce that. But it's also true that true faith in Christ and true love for the saints works itself out in concrete and specific ways that we can see. You would usually see a growth in prayers, a love for the scriptures, a greater submission to one's husband, a greater love for their wife, greater patience with their children, greater boldness in evangelism, greater victory over any particular sin that had been clinging close in their lives, endurance in suffering, even when God says, I'm not removing this trial, my grace is sufficient for you. You don't get embittered by that. You are casting yourself on the mercies of God and saying, whatever he ordains is right. We see growth in sacrificial giving, a new joy and commitment to serving the body in some way. And the list can go on and on and on. So these are some of the different ways that true saving faith in Christ and true love growing out of true saving faith in Christ can work itself out. And sharing these things will usually elicit and strengthen and intensify thanksgiving to God in the lives of God's people. So we should be a people who are looking to respond to God's work in the lives of others by speaking about what God is doing in us, hearing what God is doing in their lives, and as a result, giving thanks and giving others opportunities to give thanks for what God is doing in our lives. When we testify, we are insisting, together with the Bible, in keeping with the Bible, God is faithful. His word never fails. His word never falls to the ground. He sees to it that what he has said comes to pass. So how should you respond to God's work in your brother's life, in your husband's life, in your wife's life, in your children's lives, in the lives of others in your sphere of relationships? You should be proactive and do that more and more. Seek to know more people. Seek to know more stories and tell more the story of what God has done in your life, and do that with a view to becoming more thankful for the grace of God that has triumphed over sin in your life, and do that with a view to seeing people be more thankful for the grace of God that has triumphed in your life. Paul says in this passage, the gospel everywhere is in the whole world is bearing fruit and growing. That's the confidence that we have. God's word is always bearing fruit and growing. So we should live with anticipation of stories of that growth. May God make us a more worshipful, a more thankful, a more God-glorifying people by making us more eager to share stories of what he's doing, more eager to hear stories of what he's doing. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you've not left us to ourselves. You've not left us to our devices, even on something as fundamental and foundational about us, how we should respond to your work in the lives of our brothers and sisters, in the lives of other churches that hold to the true doctrine of the faith, Lord. We thank you for instructing us on that and for showing us what we ought to do in the examples of Paul and Timothy. We pray that you would help us to be a people who aim to intensify thanksgiving in the midst of your people and seek to see thanksgiving strengthened in our own lives by hearing and speaking of the wondrous things that you have done and are doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.